Labor Day weekend, it's evident, but I'm so glad that you're here and just enjoying the presence of God. He is good. Why don't you stand this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to look at this in the Amplified. We looked at this a couple weeks ago, and I just love this scripture. There's so much in it today, and I think you're going to receive out of it. We're going to be talking a little bit about a little different subject, but it goes along with this. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. God has called us by his glory and his excellence. We serve an excellent God. Amen. Let's hold up our Bibles today and say it like you mean it. Say it, Pastor, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Will you turn to some people this morning and say, you know, I am so blessed to be a part of a grace and truth church. Would you do that? Amen. Come on. Grace and truth church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when you find grace, you find truth. When you really have a revelation of grace, you find truth. Amen. Grace and truth. John 1:17. Grace and truth. And this is not on my list, brother, so you'll just kind of have to follow me this morning. Grace and truth are hand in hand. Amen. They go hand in hand. And when you discover the revelation of God's grace towards you, you discover the truth of the gospel. You discover the truth of the gospel. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. You find out that you're forgiven completely. You find out that God's on your side. You find out that you don't have to please God. He's already pleased with you. You're finding truth when you discover grace. Amen? Grace and truth go hand in hand. And here in this powerful scripture, back over in, you see, I've told you guys to keep up with me today. Amen. I'm going to challenge you probably. Back over to 2 Peter 1:3. What Peter told us in this scripture is that God has bestowed on us, bestowed, given to us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life. Everything pertaining to life and godliness that's necessary for a dynamic spiritual life. Would you turn to someone this morning and say, are you living, come on, help me out this morning, are you living a dynamic spiritual life? A life that is overcoming and not being overcome, amen? A life that is giving, amen, and receiving from the Lord. A dynamic spiritual life. And grace has provided us that ability to live this dynamic spiritual life, amen? So God has absolutely given us everything to live this life. Amen? And as believers, I want to just stress to you this morning that we operate in this life by faith. We operate in this life by faith. The enemy is only capable of operating in fear. But God's people operate in faith. Faith triumphs fear. Amen. And Lord knows this past year or 2 years, there's just been an onslaught of fear. And people are fellowshipping like porcupines. They're all spread apart. Have you noticed when you walk into a place, if you walk into Walmart or Kroger or wherever you might walk into, and someone's coming down the aisle, they'll move way over for you? Have you noticed that? Has anybody noticed that? Or they'll wait till you come through the door? It's like, wow, man. I mean, this COVID thing has put so much fear into people. God does not want us living in fear. God wants us living in faith. You know, we've had people within our congregation that have had COVID. I believe I'm one of them. I think I had it way back when it began. But I want to tell you, God is helping us overcome. When we are attacked with something, we maintain the victory we have, and by maintaining the victory we have, we overcome these things. Come on, somebody. Amen. So terror is not God's will for us. Fear and terror is not God's will for us. Amen. Therefore, you cannot tolerate it when it approaches your life. You can't hang around with it. You can't entertain it. Amen. You've got to take your authority over it. Amen. Go through your daily routine and trust God to keep you safe. So when fear spreads like an epidemic, and it has, what's the remedy to overcome that fear? It's simply everything else that we learn and have been learning. The remedy to overcome anything is God's Word. The revelation of God's Word is the remedy to overcome everything we face in this life. The rhema of God's Word in our heart and on our mouth is how we overcome fear and every adversity that comes against us. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this, Romans 8:15. I want you to look at this, Romans 8:15. Look what he says. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. God doesn't want believers walking, living in fear. God didn't put it on us. God doesn't want us living there. That's not where we're supposed to live. But what did we receive? We received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You know, one of the fondest childhood memories I have is when something went awry in my life, I could run to my dad. I always felt that my father, you know, he had issues in life, but one thing I felt was I was safe with my daddy. Amen? I could run to him and know he was my protector. As a believer, and when I raised my kids, I believe they felt the same way. I know they did. They could run to me when something was going on in their life, and I would sit down with them, or I would hold them, or I'd love on them, because I'm their daddy, and I wanted to make sure they were protected and well provided for. Okay, say, where you at, baby? Say amen. She's back there somewhere. Say amen. So, that they're well provided for. So God has not given us this spirit of fear. He cried out before. I want to show you this in the Message Bible. Look at this in the Message. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. Isn't that good? We're not just hanging around tending fear, tending something that is leaning towards death. No, no, no. He said it's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? What's up, Dad? What's next? What do you have good in store for me next? Not what bad you have in store for me, what good do you have in store for me? Amen. What a powerful scripture. Live adventurously, expecting, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? Man, we have a good, good daddy, amen? We have a resurrection life living within us. So it's our decision whether or not to be afraid. Turn to somebody and say, you've got a vote in this. You've got a vote in this. You have a choice in this. And it's not God's will that we live in fear. Fear does not come from God, and it is not a characteristic of our born-again spirit. In the fruit of the Spirit, you do not find fear there. You find love, you find faith, you find patience, you find gentleness, you find kindness, you find long-suffering. You find the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, but you don't find fear in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? 1 John 4:18. I'm going to give you a lot of word this morning. 1 John 4:18. Amen? Let's look at this. There is no what? No what? Come on, church. No what? No fear where? In love. Who is love? God is love. So there is no fear in God. Turn to somebody and say, I'm in God. So if you're in God this morning, there is no fear in you. Because perfect love, his love, cast out fear, because fear involves torment. I know so many people that are walking in such fear today that they're just cowed down with it. They just can't even seem to function right because they've overcome with fear. That is not God's will for you. God's will for you is life. Jesus said, I didn't come to give you fear. He said, I've come to give you life and give it to you how? More abundantly. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Put this up in the message and let's read this. Amen. This way, there is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is what? Crippling a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. God wants you to be fully formed in God's love. Because, oh my goodness, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's entirely possible to go through our daily routines doing what we do without fear. It's possible to walk into Walmart without fear. I almost said most of the time, amen. But it's possible to walk and do our daily life without fear. It's possible to get on a plane, a train, a car without fear. Amen. God doesn't want you walking and living in fear. God wants you walking and living in faith and in his love. 2 Timothy 1:7, some of you can quote this verse, and some of you do it often, and if you ever have overcome with fear, this is what you need to say. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit. Fear is a spirit. It is where the enemy operates. It's the only thing the enemy has to operate with is that power of suggestion. And one of those that attacks our emotion and our emotional response is fear. But Paul told Timothy, God's not given you that spirit of timid or that spirit of fear. But what has he given you? Power. You have authority this morning. You have power to cast out fear. You have love. You were created in God's love this morning. God loves you even when you have a brain freeze. There's another word for that, but I won't use that this morning. But God loves you there too. God loves you at all times. Amen. And when you know this, you know your authority, you know his love, it produces a sound mind. And you say, well, Pastor, you've been going over this quite a bit. Why is this so important? Because I realize how the enemy attacks. The enemy attacks through your thought life. That's the only way that he can get entrance into your life. And if you think on things long enough and dwell on things long enough, you're going to eventually act those things out, or you're going to be succumbed to fear, doubt, depression, and all these other things. Because the enemy, that's his ploy to get you to believe that God doesn't love you and that God's holding out on you. The very first response of when Adam missed the mark is he went and hid in fear. It will cause you to try to hide from God. And you know what? God already knows, so just let him love on you. Fear comes from Satan, and any kind of fear, no matter how small, will put us in bondage. It contaminates faith. Some of you have heard the saying before, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So if we tolerate any bit of fear, it's contaminating our faith. And there are consequences for agreeing with fear. Submitting to it gives the devil an opportunity to operate in our life if we allow him to. Because that's exactly how he operates. Amen. Job 3:25. Listen to what Job said when he sacrificed for his children. Listen to what he said. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I have dreaded has happened to me, when he lost his children. He was fearing, he was worshiping out of fear. Thank God we don't have to worship out of fear any longer. We don't have to worship thinking God's going to knock us out or hit us over the head or kill us. Thank God we can worship freely out of faith because of God's grace and because of righteousness. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Because in the Old Testament, they worshiped God out of a fear-based mentality because they thought if they didn't get it right, they were going to die. Thank God today we don't have to worship God out of fear. We worship God freely out of faith. So we have authority over every negative emotion that would come against our thought life. Our authority is God's written word and our position in Jesus Christ. Our authority is God's written word and our position in Jesus Christ. The greatest example we have is when Jesus was tempted of the enemy, and Jesus responded each time by saying, "It is written." Amen? And then he spoke the word that was written. That is how we overcome the enemy's attacks against our mind. Isaiah 54:14. Listen to this. This is so good. And I gave this verse a couple weeks ago. I taught on this, but I want to go back into it again. In righteousness, you shall be established. You should be far from, come on, somebody say it loud with me. You should be far from oppression. Say it again. You shall be far from oppression. Holly and Kay had those words this morning, and all that has to do with our thought life. How we filter things that affected us in life. And the Bible says, once we're established in righteousness, that is why it's so key to understand your position today is you're not just some dirty old saint, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the more you know that, and the more you understand that, and the more revelation you have on that, oppression is going to be far from you. Woo! Amen. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Oh my goodness. Amen. Put this up in the Amplified. I want you to see this. Praise God. You will be firmly established in righteousness. You will be. When? When you received Christ, you became righteous in your spirit. Firmly righteous in your spirit. You will be far from even the thought, where does everything take place at? Starts with a thought. You can't do anything good or bad without thinking about it first. And he said, you'll be far from even the thought of oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Can I tell you something? I've had no fear of COVID. I've had no fear. I have no fear of anything out there because I know I'm established in righteousness. Amen? Listen to me. Somebody said, well, the worst thing that could happen to you could die. Yes, you could, and then you get to go to heaven. It's like, come on, man. Paul said, you know, it's better for your sake that I stay here, but I'd really rather be there. But, you know, I'm going to stay here for your sake so I can teach you and you can learn something. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, you do not have to fear. And then turn to somebody else and say, you don't have to be stupid either. Right? God gives us wisdom to walk in. Come on, somebody. God gives us wisdom to walk in. You have the mind of Christ in you. The reason you don't have to fear is because you have wisdom. God speaks to you. He tells you where to go, where not to go. If you come against something and it does attack your body, you know you have a medication over it. You have a gospel. A gospel over what's going on within your body. You have the ability because you know by his stripes I am healed. Amen. Therefore, I take my healing. Amen. And he gives you wisdom. The other day I was talking to somebody and they were battling COVID and I was just talking with them and I said, hey, are you increasing your vitamin D? There's some wisdom that God has for us. How do you think doctors have come up on revelation of curing things? It's by the wisdom of God that opened up to them. It's by God's wisdom. Amen. And God has given us the mind of Christ. We have the wisdom of God. So when we go through things with the wisdom of God and the Word of God operating in our life. And the Holy Spirit guiding us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, man. Amen. He guides us, leads us into all truth, all of His Word. But He said, it will not come near you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. We know this, but I want to bring it back to your remembrance this morning. Here's the thing. Sometimes when we're learning and we're growing in grace, we need to hear things repetitive to us in order for us to receive the revelation of it. A lot of times it's like we always want a new revelation, but we haven't got the full revelation of where we're at right now. Right? For though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring after the flesh. We're not warring a fleshly battle when it comes to overcoming things in our mind. Real spiritual warfare happens right here. What most Christians don't know is the enemy's already defeated. Most Christians think, well, he's not defeated. He's walking about as a roaring lion. Well, only thing he can do is roar because Jesus pulled his teeth 2,000 years ago. So he tries to intimidate us, but he is defeated. All power is given unto Jesus. All power is given to the church. Right? For we're not fighting a fleshly battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle right here in our mind. If you win it in your mind, you win it in life. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Not wrestling against flesh and blood, not fighting against flesh and blood, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. A fortified thought, a thought that's become into our mind over the years that we continually think that negative thing over and over again. It can be what somebody said about you. It can be an experience in life that you've had, but it becomes a fortified thought that is contrary to what God has said about you. But he says, our weapons, our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. In other words, you don't have to stay in that place. You don't have to stay in stinking thinking. God's got better for you. Turn to somebody and say, God's got better for you. Amen. Look at this. I love this. Amen. Casting down imaginations, things that we imagine. You know, a lot of times we imagine things that never come to pass. That's where the enemy operates. He'll tell you, well, everybody's against you. Well, you know what? If God's for you, who cares? Turn to somebody and say, if God's for you, who cares? Right? Amen. He'll tell you all kinds of things. Well, they don't like you, or you know, this or that, or, you know, all these kinds. Man, imagination is powerful, but use it in a positive way. You can use imagination in a positive way as well. And every high thing that exalts itself against the Word of God, the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Thought hits your mind? Oh, hang on a second. Does that line up with the Word? No. Thought hits your mind? Hey, does that line up with the Word? No. Thought hits your mind? Does that line up with the Word? No. Thought hits your mind? Does that line up with the Word? No. We cannot capture every thought and take it into obedience unless we take what God's Word says about it. We don't capture thoughts with thoughts. We capture thoughts by saying what God's Word says about that thought. You're feeling sick, you capture the thought. Well, I think I'm coming down with the flu. You know, there's been no flu season since COVID. We have completely eradicated the flu. Have you noticed that? That's a miracle. Can somebody give God some praise for that one? You know, completely eradicated the flu. There's no flu. Amen. And can I tell you something? I don't want to be get over here on the political side, but I may for just a moment here, because this is Pastor Steve's 101 thought here, so don't throw stones at me. But what they're saying is a vaccine is a flu shot. Because a vaccine prevents you from getting what you're vaccinated for. Such as the polio vaccine was a true vaccine. It prevented people from getting polio. But and I'm not telling you to get a shot or not get a shot. You use the wisdom of God. Listen, are you hearing what I'm saying? You listen, some people need to get a shot, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I love you. Amen. I'm not telling you whether to get a shot or not get a shot. You use the wisdom of God. But let me tell you, it's not a vaccine. Or you wouldn't need a booster. Or you won't need another one next year. And so much of everything that's going around is political right now. Just give you some insight. It's political right now. Amen. So let the wisdom of God direct your path. And listen to me. If you get a shot, don't fall under condemnation. If you don't get a shot, don't fall under condemnation. Oh, come on. Say, he's really preaching good to you right now. That's probably the best thing he said all day. No. It's true, because people fall under condemnation. And there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff out there. If you're looking at the internet, you can read all day long, all these conspiracies, all this stuff. But I tell you what, I know one thing, amen. I know we serve a good God. God is faithful to his church. God's going to take care of his church, amen. And we have the wisdom of God. And I really believe some people need to get the shot. And I really believe some people don't need to get the shot. But you let the wisdom of God, and listen to me, let the peace of God guide your heart. Because here at Discovery Church, it's a no-condemnation zone. So if someone walks in and says, well, I got the shot, we say, praise God, brother, I'm so glad for you. I didn't get the shot. I'm so glad for you. Bless you. It's amazing what turns somebody and say, he preached really good right then. Amen. All right. So we can capture every thought, make it to obey what God's word says. You don't capture thoughts with thought. We fight fear by declaring the word of God. Look at Psalm 103. Look at what David did here. Psalm 103. I love this psalm because I know David fought some illnesses, fought some lions, fought some tigers, fought some bears, oh my. Right? A psalm of David. Listen to what he said. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. David knew what it was to have attack come against his emotional being. But he spoke out of his mouth, bless the Lord. He said this out of his mouth, bless the Lord. Soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Look what he said, next verse. Bless the Lord again, oh my mind, will, and emotions. Blessed in my emotions. Bless the Lord, mind, will, and emotions. And forget not all of his benefits. If God's brought you through the past, he's the same God to bring you through the present and the future. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. David, put that up front, man. I am forgiven, amen. Who healeth all thy diseases. All. Who redeemeth your life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender grace, hasid, grace, mercies, tender grace, amen. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle, amen. And the Lord, verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness. The Lord worketh righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, amen. Whatever we give our attention to becomes large in our minds. That's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. To guard our hearts, we must guard our minds. To guard your heart, you got to guard your mind, amen? And you got to guard your mouth. You got to guard what you're saying out of your mouth. So God himself is our refuge. I want you to look at Psalm 91, and we're going to read this morning. We're going to confess this morning. Psalm 91 in the Amplified. So I want you to confess this with me. How many believe in confessing the word? Come on. How many believe in confessing the word? Amen. So I want you to confess this with me, and I want you to just get it down in your spirit this morning, all right? Say it with me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. Is that good? Y'all with me? Look at verse 2. I will say it with me. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust with great confidence, and on whom I rely. Woo! Man, it's all of a sudden, I could feel a lift in the room. I just sensed it in my spirit. Look at the next verse. Let's say this. Amen. For he will save you from the trap of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Say it. He will cover you and completely protect you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at this. Say it with me. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow of day that flies by day. Now I want you to stand with me. Stand with me. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Say it with me. Nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction, sudden death, that lays waste at noon. Wow. Come on, somebody. Next verse. Fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you. Listen, you will only be a spectator as you look on with your eyes and divine witness and witness the divine repayment of the wicked as you watch safely from the shelter of the Most High. You know who the shelter of the Most High is? Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, you are so good. Go on down. Amen. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you. Turn to somebody and say, no evil is going to befall you. And then turn to somebody else and say, nor will any plague come near your tent, near your dwelling, near your house. For he will command his angels in regard to you to protect you and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. You know that we have ministering angels ministering for us right now? Every time you speak the word, an angel is dispatched on your behalf. There's an angel in Revelation. He's got 1 foot on the ground and 1 foot on the sea and a big rainbow over top. He's amazing. Amen? Big, burly angels watching out over us. They will lift up in their hands so that you do not even strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he set his love on me. Did you notice that personal statement? Because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will set him securely on high. Because he knows my name, he confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him. No, never. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him where? In trouble, I will rescue him and honor him. Look at this. I want you to really say that out loud. Say it again. I want you to say it as loud as you can. With long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Woo! Can you give God some praise this morning? Amen. Listen, God's got long life for you. Long life for you. Amen. not 40, that's not long enough, not 50, not 60, not 70, not 80, not 90, not 100. Woo, somebody made it 100, hallelujah. I told you I walked to the nursing home one day and there's a little lady sitting there, had glasses on. I asked the nurse, I said, "Hey, who is this little lady here?" And she said, "Oh, Pastor Steve, that's our 105-year-old patient." I said, "105? That's fantastic. That's great." I said, "You mind if I talk to her?" She'd love it. She's sharp as a tack. Fantastic. I sat down beside her and I said, "Hi, dear." I said, "I'm Pastor Steve. I just wanted to ask you a couple questions. Is that okay?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "I understand you're 105 years old." And she said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Can I ask you the secret of your longevity?" She said, "Sure, I'd never been married and I never had kids." With long life. That's a true story. Amen. With long life. I've got kids and I'm married, but I'm still believing for long life. Amen. How about you? How about you? Listen, set your focus on 120. Set your focus and my eyes not going to dim. My health's not going to fade. I don't have to get a certain age and start getting all these arthritis things, arthritis and all those. I don't have to do that. Amen. I don't have to lose my hearing. I don't have to lose my focus. I don't have to lose my mental capacities. Amen. If I want to, I can go out and run 3, 4, 5 miles. Hello? Come on. With long life, I'll satisfy him. Say, "Lord, just give me the wisdom for this body that you've given to me. I want this temple to glorify God." Amen? Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands this morning. You know, you might be here today, and you might be struggling with some thoughts and some negative things come against your mind. I don't know where you are personally, but I do know with what I taught this morning, if you'll take this and apply it through grace, amen, that God will just give you the desires of your heart, amen. He will take you out of that place, praise God, put you in a brand new place this morning, a positive mentality place, a place of life, not death. You know, we can think thoughts of death instead of life. Praise God. Let's change our thinking today. Would you just raise your hands one more time this morning and say, "Thank you, Jesus. I receive your word into my heart today. Thank you, Lord. Every thought that is negative, I cast down. Every thought that's contrary to your word, I take authority over. I speak the word of life when I'm thinking a negative thought. I speak grace in my life. I speak the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I speak blessings over my life. Lord, I speak healing over my life. Thank you, Lord, for divine health, that I don't get sick, Lord, but I walk in divine health. Thank you, God, for your wisdom that guides me and my family every day. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Jesus going on. Thank you for that in Jesus' name this morning." Would you find 5 people this morning and tell them, "I'm glad you're here today"? Would you do that? Amen. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen.